share a word with you titled, His Ways Are Not Our Ways. Somebody say, His ways are not our ways. One more time, say, His ways are not our ways. I want it to sink in. Say, His ways are not our ways. Now look at your neighbor, say, His ways are not your ways. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 will form the foundation of our discussions this morning. And I believe somebody will be blessed. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9.
Isaiah 55.
Yes, sir.
8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways.
Neither your ways my ways.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Than your thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
In this scripture, we come across two distinct words and a comparison of sorts between man and between God. Where God himself is speaking, he said, I have got thoughts, and then I have got ways. Then he says, you've got thoughts, and you've got ways. But your thoughts and my thoughts are not aligned, because I am thinking on a plane and on a level that is higher than what is accessible to you and what is available to you. And he says, my ways are also very dissimilar to your ways. That means that first of all, if you don't have thoughts and you are not thinking, there's a problem with you, because you must have thoughts. Are you with me so far? If you meet a man who is not thinking, he has a problem. That is why being a Christian must not stop you from thinking. Tell somebody, think. Okay. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. It is one thing to know the acts of a man, it's another thing to understand his ways. Many people, the reason they are struggling, for example, in marriage is because they married somebody according to their acts without understanding the person according to their ways. Now, if you see Cristiano Ronaldo, can I preach this one? If you see Cristiano Ronaldo, his acts is what is available to all of us. That he plays football, he scores goals, he trains. Those are his acts. But who he is, which is demonstrated and manifested in his ways, is not available to you and I. And so many people have fallen in love with him because of his acts and not because of his ways. Many people fall in love with people because of their acts. But any relationship, anything founded or built on the foundation of acts will not last, because there has to be an understanding of ways. Now, one act of mine is that I eat. It is an act. But when you understand my ways, you know that I don't eat fufu. So no matter how much sacrifice and how much effort and how much you put into it, energy you invest into preparing a sumptuous fufu meal, it will never be appetizing to me. It will make me nauseous. So you only understood my act that I eat, but you did not familiarize yourself with my ways that I don't eat this particular thing. Are we on the same page so far? And that is why God here is talking about his ways and not his acts. Because when it comes to his acts, you know that God is a good God. But his ways is the instrumentality through which the goodness flows. When it comes to his acts, you know that he's a merciful God. Because he, in times past, has acted in a merciful way concerning issues and concerning people. But his ways will teach you how and when the mercy of God becomes manifested. Somebody say, I need to know the ways of God. And so he's saying that my ways are not your ways. You have your ways too, but the way I flow is not the same way you flow. That means that for the ordinary person, there is no way there is congruence between our ways and God's ways, except that we align ourselves and uplift ourselves to bring us to the same dimension of his operation. So far, so good. Because God will not lower his standards for your sake. He expects you to come up to his level. If he lowers his standards for Amma, it means he has to lower it for Akosua, and do it for Yao, and do it for Kojo, and keep lowering for everybody. Where does it end? That's why I said, you will seek me and you will find me. It's your job to do the seeking and your job to do the finding. I am always available. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. So his ways, he says, my ways are not your ways. See, if God was small enough to be understood, he will not be big enough to be worshipped. That is why you can never understand him. You can never fully comprehend his ways. But if you have a glimpse of how he behaves and his ways, believe me, you will be settled in your spirit when things are happening around you. I'm going to share a few things concerning the ways of God that I have come to discover. And I hope that it becomes a blessing to you. Because according to man's ways, when I am hungry, I must be fed. But God's ways don't always work like that. According to man's ways, when I am in need, there must be an answer. But God's ways are not always like that. I know I'm talking to somebody right now who has been praying about that particular thing for a long time. And it looks like times and seasons are passing and shifting, but that particular thing has not been released. It is because you are probably standing on your own time and on your own way, expecting the answer like you want it to come, but God has his own way and has his own plans. According to the ways of man, there is no way David must become king. You are not the first child. You are not the tallest of them. You are not the most well-built of them. You are not even deserving to be in the company of, in the assembly when the prophet came. And so even in your family's eyes, you didn't deserve it. Yours was to tend sheep. And yet, in the way of God, he decided that this is still the one that I am picking. That is how his way is different from our ways. I know I'm communicating to somebody. Anything that is higher has higher perspective, has higher dimension of influence. And so for his ways to be higher than our ways, it means that his ways are stronger. They exert more influence. They are more powerful. Whatever your way is, if you don't come to the place to cause it to be subsumed under God's ways, you struggle in life. Because you always be looking for things your own way. I pray for you that you will come to the place where you let the Lord have his way in your life in Jesus' mighty name. I've taught you before that his ways are not always pleasant, but his ways will always bring you to the place of finality. His ways are not always exciting, but his ways will always bring you to the place where you'll be celebrated. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts again, thinking again. The thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you where? To a place of expectation. Bring you to that expected end. I know the thought that I have thought. The meanderings and the ups and downs and the vicissitudes of that journey, he will not open it clearly to you. Because he expects you to trust his ways as he holds your hand and moves you point A to point B. He just appears to a man that we all call father and says, leave your father's house and go to a place I will show you. Imagine being Abraham and having to communicate this to your family. God says, I should leave. Okay, fine. To where? He will show me. When? He didn't say. How would you get there? I don't know. When would you get there? I don't know. The conclusion is you have a problem. But that is the thing. Any man who truly trusts the Lord in strange ways looks like he has a problem in the eyes of men. Why? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Could it be that is why your friends think you are strange? Could it be that's why your family think there is something wrong with you? because you have believed God and you have trusted God in a way that their minds cannot comprehend. I pray for you that anybody here that has put his trust in God, may God bring you to that expected end in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout yes. God is not a mathematical formula. Also for Psalm 103 verse 7. 103 verse 7. God is not a mathematical formula. Mathematics is exact. It's always the same. It reacts and responds to formula. So 1 plus 1 will always give you 2. 1 minus 1 will give you 0. Because once you see plus, the formula expects you to do an addition. Once you see minus, the formula expects you to do a subtraction. God is not a formula. That simply because he walked with Abraham a certain way, he is necessarily expected to walk with Isaac the same way. God doesn't work like that. Simply because he moved with your spiritual father in one way, does not mean he must walk with you the same way. I feel like I'm communicating. That is the error of the ways of many young preachers today. They look for a preacher they think they want to become like and go and submit to the person, believing with all their hearts that they will become that exact person. But the fact that God works with a man in a certain way does not mean he will walk with you the same way. Because he picked you with your flaws, with your strengths, with your weaknesses, with everything that he made in you just for a certain expected end. And so he will pick you and hold you and take you on that journey, irrespective and very independent of how he worked with another man. You know that John the Baptist's father was a priest, according to the Levitical order. He was a priest. How many of you know that one? What was his name? Zacharias. His job was to go to the temple and burn incense. He was a priest. He brought the presence of God. He was a priest. He burnt incense. He was a priest. The people looked up to him as their intermediary between God and man. He was a priest. But the fact that God walked with him in that dimension did not mean that he will walk with his son, John the Baptist, in the same dimension. John the Baptist never wore any priestly garment. In fact, he wore skins and he didn't sleep in temples. In fact, he slept in deserts and he didn't eat of the things made in the temple. In fact, he ate locusts and honey. And yet, Jesus said he was of all people born of woman. He was the greatest of them all. You would think that the one that was dressed properly and was burning incense and had all the priestly ornaments and priestly garments around him was rather great. But it was the one that he chose and caused to live in the desert places that he said was the greatest. The fact that he walked with Zachariah one way does not mean he must walk with his son the same way. I came to tell somebody, the way he walked with your father may not be the same way he will walk with you, but you will still get to that place. The way he walked with your mother may not be the same way he works with you, but he will still bring you to the place of greatness and the place of establishment. Somebody shout and say, that is my story. Hallelujah. Psalm 103:7.
He made known his ways unto Moses.
He did what?
Made known.
He made known. What did he make known?
His ways.
Somebody say his ways.
His ways.
Unto who?
Moses.
Okay.
His acts unto the children of Israel.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What did he do? He made known his ways unto Moses. And then he made known his acts unto
children of Israel.
So the children of Israel simply saw acts, but Moses understood their ways. I'm sharing with you some of the things associated with the ways of God. Number one, God is always on time. God is always on time. God is always on time. 1 Samuel 13:8-13. He's always on time. What you call delay is delay because you are in time. God dwells outside time, and time is subject to his will, and he bends it according to his will. And so what you call delay is not delay at all. For the day is like 1,000 years before him. He can do anything. He can compress what is in 1,000 years into one day, because he doesn't dwell in time. It is only when you dwell in time that you become subject to time. That's why we grow old, and that's why he's ageless. Hallelujah. That is why you grow old, but God doesn't grow old, because he's not subject to the dictates of time. But he's always on time. Always. Look at somebody say, he's always on time. It is one of his ways. He is always on time. You have not delayed. I came to tell somebody, you are not behind time. You have not delayed. You have not stagnated. You are on time. Hallelujah. This is a word in season for somebody who needs to hear this. That you are in time. You are walking according to God's timing. You have not delayed at all. The only thing that will make you think you have delayed is when you compare yourself to other people and compare what is happening in the lives of others to what is happening in your own life. And if you continue doing that, you might as well have to compare what is happening in the lives of others that have taken your friends and your classmates to the grave and while you are still alive. Why don't we stretch the comparison? Right now, a friend of yours is sick somewhere, but you are here. You should be sick too, if you want there to be uniformity of experiences. But you are walking your own path, on your own journey. You see, how many of you watch athletics, the 100-meter race? Before when they are doing the heat, you see, the people who finish first in the heat don't all finish at the same time. All of them finish with different times, but they are all first. Because they are running separate races. So they cannot say that because this one in his heat, he finished with this figure, everybody must finish with that figure in their heat also to be first. It doesn't work that way. Because each heat is different. You are running your heat and you'll be first in your own heat. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter who has gone ahead in their own heat. You are running your own race. And I came to tell somebody, you are in God's time. Somebody shout, I am in God's time. God is always on time. So if we read it.
1 Samuel 13.
Yes. 8.
And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed.
So he tarried 7 days. There's a war between the people of Israel and the Philistines. And they were supposed to go at each other. And this is Samuel telling Saul, you know what, I need to come and do some sacrifices and do some things behind the scenes. And so give me 7 days and I will appear and do the sacrifices. So they tarried and they were waiting 7 days. Go ahead.
But Samuel came not to Gilgal.
Samuel did not come to Gilgal.
And the people were scattered from him.
So I am assuming this is the 7 days, right?
Yeah.
Because he has waited 7 days. Samuel hasn't appeared. The people are still waiting at Gilgal. Yes, sir.
And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me.
Saul said, bring me the burnt offering myself. I will offer it myself.
And peace offering.
And peace offering.
And he offered the burnt offering.
And Saul offered the burnt offering. It is an error because kings don't offer offerings. Priests offer offerings. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
There's a clear distinction, a clear variance between the job ascribed to a priest and that is given to a king. And so he usurped the powers of a priest by doing this. Go ahead.
And it came to pass. That as soon as he had made an end of offering.
As soon as he finished sacrificing, what happened?
Behold, Samuel
appeared. Samuel was on time.
Mm. Mm.
7 days. I said wait 7 days. You waited 7 days. And because you thought I am not coming, I have delayed you. You went ahead and sacrificed. Right after sacrificing, Samuel appeared. Some of you are trying hard to take things into your own hand and offer sacrifices not intended for you. Because you think God has delayed. Could it be that the moment you go ahead of him and do it, he will come and pass you by because you missed the opportunity? He says, wait for me, I'm opening this door. And because you've been waiting and it's not coming, another door appears and you say, all door be door. And you just enter into that one and move. And as soon as you enter that door, he just comes and says, where is he? He's gone. He missed it. What did Samuel say?
And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him.
You are now coming to salute. Go ahead.
And Samuel said, what hast thou done?
What have you done?
And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself.
I did what?
I forced
myself.
And offered
and
the
I
burnt
offered
offering.
The burnt offering.
13.
Samuel said.
And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly.
You have done foolishly, which means that foolishness is not the preserve of the ordinary. Even kings can be foolish sometimes. Right.
And thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom.
For if you had waited, the Lord would have now established your kingdom. So you are sitting on the seat, but the establishment has not come yet. You can be sitting on a seat and physically it appears yours, but in another dimension, in the ways of God, establishment hasn't come for what you are sitting on. His ways are not our ways. Then what did Samuel say?
Which he commanded, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.
But
now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
So the prophet said, but now, because of what you have done, your kingdom has ended. So, but you realize that after the prophet said that, he was still king. The next day, he was still king. But in the ways of God, the end had come. There are people sitting on your seats. Their end has come. They haven't realized it yet. You didn't hear what I said. There are people physically, in the ways of men, they are sitting on seats that heaven has assigned to you. But I see a new season coming where the Lord is picking you from where you are and causing you to sit on these seats and establishing you there. Somebody say, I hear you. God is always on time. Always on time. Always on time. You see, to God, what you are becoming is more important than what you are receiving. What you are becoming in the process is more important than what you are receiving. Because if you receive and you have not become, you can kill yourself. It will be suicidal for you. Hallelujah. Look at something. What you are becoming is more important than what you are receiving. There are seasons where God becomes quiet. Do you know God doesn't always talk? He's not always talking. He's not. There are seasons he's just quiet. I've had prophets come to me and said, these days I can't hear. I can't hear. It's like my ears. I said, it's not your ears. He's still. He's quiet. He's taking you to a season where it's like you closing your eyes in the dark, and he's held your hand and said, you can't hear any sound. I've held your hand, but just trust me and let's go. There are seasons he's just quiet. You are praying, but he's quiet. How many of you have been there before? It's like you can't even feel him anymore. Have you been there before? Don't play church with me. Come on. Don't play church. You are there right now. where you can't, you feel like there was a season where when you are walking, you can literally feel the host of heaven is with you. But now it's like you're all, there's something missing in the picture. The presence of God is not connected to your feelings. It is not how you feel that is the litmus test for God being present. Three Hebrew boys were in the furnace, but he was there. Imagine how they were feeling in the furnace. Daniel was faced with a lion. Imagine how he was feeling, but God was there. It says, when you go through the water, I will be with you. So your feeling in the face of the water is immaterial. Are you with me now? So there are seasons where he's quiet. And you think, where is he? He's still there. He's still working things. He's still turning things. He's still fixing things. Because he's always on time. Always on time. Always on. What are you believing God for? He's on time. I find in my walk with God that every time I need him to come through for me, he comes. Every time. Every time. Every time. If I were to tell you how much the church had in our account before we started this project, and yet I said we would do it, you think we are mad. We had about 10,000 CDs to start. And they said, are you sure we'll do it? I said, we'll do it. Do you know how much money we have spent so far? We have crossed 120,000 mark. And we are still going. I don't know how we got the money. But God keeps supplying. Are you with me now? The day they came to do the filling on the elevated portions, came to do filling. The masons came to see me. So we need to go and buy water. Polytank, those people. So I had to come and pour it on the sand. Those of you who know a bit of construction, so it will settle. It will sit. It will be hard and compact. So you should go and buy water to waste it. They are telling you, let me think about it. So whilst they were doing the filling, I realized that the atmosphere was changing. What are you talking about? Whilst they were doing, the thing was changing. The moment they finished, bam, it started raining. It started, and I told them, I said, Evans is the foreman. I said, you see, God has supplied the water you need. So make sure it is compact, because all the water you need has come. What are you talking about? He's always on time. Always. Look at someone say, he's always on time. Hallelujah. Because of time, I will not, maybe next week I'll continue with the other expressions of his ways. But today, so that you, it doesn't become cloudy and murky in your mind, this one thing you must take away from church is that God is always on time. But I've been looking for a job for so long. What is so long? I've been looking for 2 years. Too long years. How long is long? Who defines long? You. When he can give you a job that pays you more than every monthly salary you would have received over those 2 year periods. You say, for long. Except you don't know the God I'm talking about. How long? They wanted to build a temple. David missed the opportunity to build the temple. So the temple hadn't been built for long. For a long time, no temple. Then Solomon steps up onto the scene. You see who God uses to build the temple. Who you will never use. Because his ways are not your ways. And when he gets ready to build, his father David had provided everything he needed to do the building. So for all the long time that the building was not in place, provision had been put there. So that the moment they start building, they lack nothing. All this period you call long is a season where provision is being provided for you. I'm talking to somebody right now. The longer it takes, the deeper the roots. The longer it takes, the deeper the roots. He is always on time. You are not behind time. Someone said, but man of God, I am 13 years and I have still not married. Still. And 30. Somebody married at 25 and got divorced at 27. And the person is also 30 and is not married. But has 4 children. It is not how fast it happens. It is the blessing that comes with what God is giving you. People will
rush and go ahead. See, but for a lot of people, their life they are living is competition. They have painted a certain picture of themselves that they want to work in that setting so everybody can see they are doing well. Have you not realized that when you meet your old classmates, the first question they ask you is, what are you doing? When old students meet, what are you doing? I'm catching crabs. Hallelujah. He is always on time. You know the funny thing? There are times that when you meet like that, the bankers and the professionals, they are somewhere, they are talking their own language. And it's like the rest of us looking for job tour in our own corner, trying to, Charlie, have you not heard anything? What is happening? Charlie, connect me. Ebefa, 2021. Kianiki, Ebefa. Hallelujah. But he's always on time. You read accounts and stories of people who are successful, and you realize that a lot of them became successful at different times in their lives, at different stages. Some of them were even old men and they became successful. Some of them very young and they became successful. At the end of the day, they were all successful because he's always on time. Hallelujah. Listen, understand this, that God is on time. I want you to close your eyes with me right now. You want to begin to pray and ask God, Father, I submit my will and my ways unto you. And I ask that may your will alone be done in my life. That everything that is in your time, everything that is in your way concerning my life, may I not miss it. May I walk according to your guidance and according to your direction. Please lift up your voice. You just want to begin to pray. Just want to begin to pray. Le banado sila dayaha. Ligranose vayala dabanos. Bandado shandaya. Le granova zayade. Montala dalamanaha. Movelelema losinanos. Ika baladaya monta iladesh balada badaba kabororos in Jesus' name we call it done. Father, we declare that may we be in your time. May we walk according to your seasons. May we function by your divine calendar. And I declare, oh God, that may everything that you have planned concerning us in this season, may we not miss it. May it not pass us by. May it flow unto us according to your timing. Guide our steps to acknowledge your ways in our lives. Guide our steps to recognize your hand in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it done. Amen. Please put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter @Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.